Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Seeking Alpha, Alpha Talks Editors Roundtable. What moved markets this week? The week ending Friday, June 11th, 2021. A bit of a quiet week. Not much of anything happened the first 3 days of the week as investors were gearing up for the big CPI report on Thursday morning. And that came in then ahead of estimates, but apparently not enough ahead to put the fear of God into investors. Markets actually moved up after the CPI report came out. NASDAQ was quite a bit higher and is now sitting on gains over 1% for the week. The Dow is down. The S&P closed at a record high on Thursday. And as we record this today, Friday, looks like it is holding on to those gains, maybe barely. Anyway, I am very curious what my colleagues have to say about this, and I will introduce them now. Joining me in no particular order are Brad Olison, VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, Stephen Alfer, Managing Editor of Breaking News, and I am your host and moderator, Nathaniel E. Baker, Senior Editor of Strategic Contributors here at Seeking Alpha. So let's start with Kim, as we usually do, to give us the lay of the land and the big picture overview of what moved markets this week.
Well, this week, I think for the broader markets, at least we echoed what happened last week. We had investors kind of waiting a bit for one big piece of economic data. In this case, it was the Thursday CPI, as you mentioned, where we got headline number annual inflation of 5% and core 3.8%, both very high. But the market, you know, still willing to shrug that off. Bond yields ticked up a bit right after the report and then went right back down. And that allowed the NASDAQ to put out the best gains of the day as the higher valuation stocks kind of like the lower rates thing. And, you know, I was trying to explain why the market isn't worrying too much about inflation. B of A was out with its flow show note today, and they had a great line in it which says that nobody knows how to trade inflation, but everybody knows how to trade don't fight the Fed. And I think that's what you got a situation of. And for the Fed, you know, having these numbers and having rates go down really gives it a lot more breathing room as far as decision making, but also is the amount of damage that a taper tantrum could do. The further the 10-year gets away from 2%, which I still think that the Fed would tolerate up to, then the less an impact on the equities that a taper tantrum is going to have.
Yeah, you mentioned the bond market, and that I failed to mention at the outset. And there's some very interesting movement there in that the bond yields are dropping, indicating that investors are buying up bonds. Stephen, you and I exchanged a couple of tweets on that this morning, and you view this as it's according to the Fed. I normally go to Brad for winners and losers, but maybe we'll just skip ahead to you and give us the view on your views here of this inflation picture and whatever else you're watching.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm willing to hold out the possibility the Fed has it exactly right, that this is transitory and that the market is seeing it that way as well, that, if inflation were a stock, it'd be a tough year-over-year comp, right? A year ago, we were experiencing some extreme deflationary things going on. So a year later, things have picked back up. The reopening is a lot quicker than most have expected. The supply chains are a lot more tied up than most had expected. So we're getting a pop in inflation, and I'm willing to give at least some credence to the possibility that the Fed has exactly right, that it's transitory. But what you and I talked about was there's also the possibility that, investors, doesn't really matter what investors think, right? The Fed is the gorilla in the treasury market. Their amount of purchases they made in May and April was greater than treasury issuance in those 2 months. So, has price discovery been completely lost, in the treasury market? So there's that possibility too. And third, and this kind of goes a little bit with the transitory thing, is we've talked about Hoisington Investment Management And they've been relentlessly bullish through any number of inflation scares over the past few decades. They continue to be bullish on treasuries. They say the U.S. and most of the developed world is locked in a debt trap, where more debt gives a sugar high to the economy for a little while, but ultimately ends up depressing economic output, and that's bullish for treasuries. So I'm willing to give possible credence to any one of those scenarios.
All right. There was some movement in the stocks, maybe not the major indexes, but across individual stocks. Meme stocks moved pretty dramatically, some of them, and some biofarms as well. So curious what the winners and losers were this week, Brad.
So before we get into that, just kind of want to continue our discussion along this lines, because I think this is the overarching theme of the market, why we're seeing the market kind of go sideways. And I think the flows are a great indicator of that, right? When stocks are at highs, there's this inability to keep pushing on a string, I guess you could say. And so money is going to just flow elsewhere. And I think that's part of what you saw with bonds. People are putting money with equities at highs somewhere else. The flow show that Kim alluded to earlier showed that the equity flows into stocks this week were the lowest year to date. So that just tells you something about the exhaustion maybe that we're seeing in parts of the equity market with some of the indices near the highs. So combine that with Morgan Stanley's market timing indicator, which was a note earlier this week. They were flashing warning signs about where the state of the equity market is. So you have a lot of those factors at play. But as far as the individual names, obviously you mentioned the biotech is huge. Biogen was the biggest winner this week in the S&P, up 40%. This is just with regards to single stock movers. And so, you know, even though the equity markets didn't move that much, some single stocks did. So Biogen, huge move this week. It brought up some of the other Alzheimer names like Eli Lilly and Eisai as well. On the loser side, we definitely saw some movement from the impacts of inflation on full display. Campbell Soup warned on some of their margins with their results that hurt other peers like General Mills and Kraft Heinz. Campbell indicated that they would have difficulty passing on some of their cost inputs onto their customers. To contrast that with Chipotle, which also this week mentioned that they're having no problem passing on their prices to customers, raising some of their prices by 4%. I think their wage increases were much, much higher than that. So just a smaller increase on the price side there. Other losers, some cyclical names like Caterpillar and United Rentals, both of those names near their highs already. So maybe some of this exhaustion picture, as well as we're seeing the infrastructure bill also coming down from a much higher level. We saw a bipartisan agreement this week that we're getting closer to some sort of infrastructure deal around the $1.2 trillion area. So some of those names had some of the cream picked off the top of their performance. But what I found interesting was some of the biggest single stock names this week, none of them really fell into the biggest winners and losers on a group's side. So with the rates falling, real estate was one of the biggest beneficiaries this week as people, you know, search for yield. A lot of these real estate names tend to provide that. And then, you know, on the downside, with these rates declining, banks were the biggest loser in the Russell 3000 and in the S&P, although only one bank name in the S&P 500, Huntington Bank shares, made the list of the top 10 worst performing names. So even though you had some major structural shifts in the market, the biggest single stock names didn't really closely align with any of those larger movements.
Mm. Yeah. What's going on with the meme party, and how much longer is this going to continue? What do you guys think?
I purposely avoided talking about
that. Yeah, that's why I asked.
I don't know if that you noticed that. So
that's exactly why.
That's kind of where I stand on it. Although you can't ignore it, right? AMC is still up more than 1,300%, I believe, over the past year. And we saw, some names start to pick up that were not previously mentioned. I think Wendy's is one of them, but Kim might get into that a little bit later.
Wendy's was hugely interesting because it was very low short interest compared to all these other stocks. It was like less than 5%, and it was close to an all time high when it had its pop. Right now, if you look, I think it's back to just a dollar above where it closed Monday right now. So I mean, it had its pop and it went right back down. They were going to try a different type of stock, and it kind of. Other money got behind it, but didn't last at all.
All All right. Well, with that, let's move on to the next segment of the show where we discuss our favorite stories, Seeking Alpha articles, tweets, or other items of interest that we have seen in our travels during the week. Let's start with Stephen.
Since we already talked about inflation, we'll move to Bitcoin, right? El Salvador over the weekend announced, their president announced they're going to make that Bitcoin legal tender within that country. And if anyone has a significant other, we're used to getting told, don't you ever get tired of being right? And a couple weeks ago, I mentioned, you know, Bitcoin mining companies, they can stick a wire directly into a waterfall and mine their machines off that. And the clean energy, the ESG types are still, they're not going to be satisfied. So why even play in that field? Well, El Salvador apparently has tons of active volcanoes and geothermal energy, and they get, it's 100% renewable, 100% clean. They can get their energy and they can do the bit more Bitcoin mining there. And they will be doing that there. But did Elon Musk say, hey, that's a great idea, good job? Did Senator Warren, did she change her tune? Well, no, they didn't, because it's not really about that. So it just goes to show it's the arguments about clean energy are not about clean energy. They hate Bitcoin. They hate what it represents, and they're going to hate it no matter what. So I found that super interesting. I still think, you know, Bitcoin managed, you know, very little bounce this week. I still think it's in a bear market. I think the fangs are out from the very, very, very powerful interest. The IMF this week basically said, oh, I'm not so sure about this El Salvador thing. We might have to rethink a $1 billion loan that we were going to give them. So, I mean, you can't overstate the amount of damage that the IMF has done to developing nations around the world over the decades, particularly Latin America, right? Cycle of debt and devaluation that's just totally impoverished those countries. But there's going to be a lot of bad news about that. It wouldn't surprise me to learn that Tesla over coming weeks or coming months has sold its Bitcoin. So, you know, for now, I Bitcoin still doesn't react very well to good news, and it still goes down on bad news. So I think the kind of bear phase, as far as the price goes, continues.
Don't forget the Bank of International Settlements, right? Just recently with their new directives on how banks should be able to handle cryptocurrency transactions, which is, you know, I think Bitcoin responded favorably to the news, but I think after some digestion, there have been some cautionary responses. I think Hyde Analytics was out with a note earlier, just cautioning against the euphoria that you saw in the price, just indicating that the ability for banks to make much money off of crypto might materially impact their adoption. Mm.
Well, if banks can't make much money off of crypto, then a lot of this noise that we're hearing from these bank CEOs about how crypto is such a great thing is probably going to abate, I would expect.
Well, it's the blockchain versus crypto argument, I think. And that's probably where things need to go. I think there's value in, I think everyone pretty much agrees that there's value in blockchain. It's just a matter of Dogecoin becoming commonplace, I guess.
Yeah, everybody agrees there's value in blockchain, although nobody seems to be able to explain what it is or how it works. Anyway, moving on here. What about you, Brad? What about, did we get you yet, your story?
So we're going to circle back with Biogen. Huge anticipation, the mother of all binary events, according to one of these healthcare analysts with this Alzheimer's drug FDA approval date. Huge pop on the news. A lot of selling into the news, shares came off a little bit, and then we saw the fallout afterwards. So this is probably the least enthusiastic approval of a major drug that I've probably seen, not from the market's reaction, but in terms of the scientific community's reaction. We saw, now we're up to, I think, two or three high profile researchers who have resigned their posts in protest of the FDA approval, which is just kind of an interesting indication of where things have going. I don't know if there was some nefarious actions going on in the FDA or how this approval came to be, but it's probably not a bullish signal that the scientists involved were upset that the FDA pushed ahead, despite, I guess, strong indicators of the drug's effectiveness. And or, I mean, you also had the price criticism too, right? $56,000 a year, which is going to be rather pricey for people in the later stages of life. Although if you talk to anyone and they'll probably say, I'll spend whatever I need for, you know, with my family just to help my mother or father. So, but the end of life discussion continues and it's rather expensive.
Yeah, I got to give credit here to Seeking Alpha author Lane Simonian. He is a history instructor on Alzheimer's disease research. And he penned an article here, which I actually edited earlier in the week, how the FDA got it wrong in approving Biogen's aducanumab, I don't know how to pronounce that, for Alzheimer's disease. So this aducanumab thing is likely to slow down the progression of Alzheimer's, but he says that the doctors' insurance companies may not back the drug, and he was quite bearish on this. And this was the morning after, I believe, the approval came in, so quite timely and something definitely worth reading if you check that out. All right, Kim, what about you?
Well, I'm going to circle back to the meme stocks as we were talking about Wendy's.
Okay, nobody can say circle back again after this. Go on.
Okay, all right. Meme stocks. We had an FT report saying that hedge funds betting against the main meme stocks as GameStop, AMC, BlackBerry, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Clover Health had, since the beginning of May, lost $6 billion. Mainly, Melvin Capital was among those, and Light Street. And both of them had gotten hit hard in January and apparently thought, well, this time it's going to be different, but it wasn't for them. I mean, Melvin Capital's now down, according to the FT, about 45% for the year, a huge hole to try and dig themselves out of. And, it seems like, as I was saying, the stocks are broadening, the price jumps are getting stickier, and I'm seeing the huge plunges that we saw in January. So, Reddit's co-founder Alexis Ohanian was out saying, look, retail investing has crossed the Rubicon. It's here to stay for Wall Street. You're going to see these types of moves. People are going to identify these stocks, and you're going to see these pops. And I think we'll see them more often, and we'll end up being, reporting here's the broader market, and here's the meme market.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting. I mean, I talked about it last week, retail investors being here to stay. And yeah, that's a interesting context there, Kim, on the meme stocks that I had tried to get others to talk about earlier. For me, there's this piece here by Hoya Capital Real Estate about office REITs. And the title of this is Office REITs, No Going Back. And they say vaccines are here, masks are off, and sports stadiums are full. Office desks around the country remain eerily empty, however, as office utilization remains a fraction of pre-COVID levels. And they say here, for many corporations, there's no going back, certainly not to pre-COVID levels, but apparently not even to where it will be filling up some of these offices. Although it is very much a regional story, they say, across the Sun Belt and suburban REITs, they are a little more bullish. When it comes to major metropolitan areas, they don't name them specifically, but you can identify them as San Francisco and New York. Those are going to be particularly hard hit. And so this was interesting. And it gets into the whole, work from home trend that people have been talking about. And they say correctly, in my opinion, that this is something that is not going away. Workers are demanding, to be able to work from home more often. There's an interesting funny little image here of some guy working at a laptop with his kid on his shoulders. And apparently there was a survey that they also cite here earlier in the week that workers were willing to take a pay cut in exchange for being able to work from home, even if it's just a couple of days a week. So more on this whole work from home trend and what it means for office REITs in particular. Very interesting piece. I recommend checking it out. And I guess we don't have anything else to discuss. So with that, we will thank you for being with us today and remind you to check out the podcast on Saturday mornings, Wall Street Breakfast, which airs at around 6:30 a.m. The video, if you've been watching it, it airs around the market close around 4 p.m. on Fridays. To get that, visit the website seekingalpha.com/videos. And have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for watching or listening, as the case may be. And we look forward to speaking to you again next week.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.